Well, now we come to the final installment of our sermon series dealing with what Christians believe. And the idea of this sermon series is to fine-tune our understanding of what our faith is all about. Have you ever looked in your toolbox or in your kitchen drawer for a utensil, and you look and you look and you look and you can't find it, so you go up to Bed Bath & Beyond or Home Depot and buy another one, then you get home and find four more? Oh, no, I have another one. I can't believe I have the same tool four times over again. But this is your Christian toolbox, and we'll be able to go back and refer it, and you can find these sermons on the website, of course, and hopefully we're going to have a special icon called Your Christian Toolbox, so you can listen to it if you want to about what our faith is all about. And we dealt with topics such as the way, what makes us different from other religions. The all-time bestseller, the Bible, by far. I think all the other bestsellers in the world, add them all up together, and you don't come up to the Bible as the bestseller. The third one was why I believe in God, and that was a personal testimony of my faith and how it works for me. And then the fourth one was who is Jesus Christ and why is he so different from other religious leaders. And then the fifth one was paid in full, the meaning of the cross and our salvation and how we can't do anything to earn it. And now we come to the last segment. It's entitled Our Faith is Complete. Well, let's venture into the spirit world. Some of us as kids were spooked by the Holy Ghost because we were wondering whether that was kind of an evil thing going around. What is the Holy Spirit, Christians think? I know a lot about God the Father, and he's the Creator, and Jesus Christ, he walked here on earth. What about this Holy Spirit? What's this all about? How can I relate to it? Well, putting ideas and concepts together to identify things is very important. We all have labels. Everybody I see has a little label on their head because it's in my mind and on your head, and I know exactly what it's all about because I'm not going to point out people, but every one of you has a little label on you, and I know exactly what that means. But what I did was to try to find the names of the Holy Spirit, and I was thinking. I thought about four or five of them. Then I decided to do a search in the Bible, of course, with my computer, and I found many. I found the first one in the second verse of the Bible. It says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." I found another one in Genesis 2 and then in Genesis 6. And with that, I was off and running and found scores of names of the Holy Spirit throughout the Bible. The last one ending in Revelation 19, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I was just amazed at how often God is referring to the Spirit in our lives throughout the Bible, through the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. In fact, one of the earliest prayers in the early church was a simple three-word statement, "Come, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, come into our life." Well, because the Spirit, Holy Spirit, opens our eyes to see spiritual truth, we need the Holy Spirit in order to see the Holy Spirit. So we ask him to come into our hearts to help us see better. So we pray, come Holy Spirit, to help us to know you better. The Bible gives us many symbols and passages about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk about four of them this morning. Water, wine, wind, and fire. Sounds like the old-fashioned elements of the earth, but these are how the Holy Spirit is defined. The first one is water, and at the end of the sermon, we're going to sing one of my second most favorite hymn, "There Is a River," which will talk about the power of the Spirit. John 7 says, "Whoever believes in me, the Spirit, the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." Well, Jesus spoke these words as he talked to a big crowd at the Feast of the Tabernacles in Jerusalem. Some came to hear him who were curious. Some were doubters. Some needed streams of living water in their life to bring them up and to make them refreshed. In fact, Jesus was offering something brand new in the history of the world, a complete transformation by means of the Holy Spirit, not by the law, as the Old Testament said, not by rules, not by legalism, but by living water. Jesus' words must have shocked the crowds because they were so simple. He said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. That's the essence of the gospel message. Drink in the gospel message, and it will make you whole and never thirst again. If anyone's thirsty, it demands a personal response to take in that water that the Holy Spirit provides for you. A personal participation, and drink that water. Something that you have to do. Well, it's a wonderful picture of how the Spirit works in the human heart. It satisfies a deep thirst within us, a thirst for knowing where we are in this world in relation to God. It provides a new... You ever see an artesian well that bubbles up? That's what the Holy Spirit... That's how the Holy Spirit works in our lives today. A permanent indwelling. Well, the streams of living water, we talk about four things. It takes a residence in your heart and mind. It flows with an inexhaustible supply. You can be full of the Spirit at any age, even 93. Right, Betty? Or we saw Dean Waller yesterday at 90. He's coming home in a couple of days. He had three bypasses and a heart and a valve put in his heart, and he's coming home in a few days. It's amazing, the gentleman, how well he is doing. The Holy Spirit flows with an inexhaustible supply for you. He brings the life of God into your soul. It makes it living and real for you. A deep thirst within the power of every heart. Well, the power of the Spirit is evident in this congregation, isn't it? It's so powerful. The priesthood of all believers that we have, that we really use, and we are a priesthood of all believers. We are participants in the Holy Spirit and in His power. And that's what makes this church. It doesn't has nothing to do with me or Betty or even you, because the Holy Spirit comes into us and makes us new people, energized, vivacious, and full of the Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit, the picture of it is flowing. And when the Holy Spirit comes into you, it flows out to other people. It touches other people. It washes them. It purifies them. It refreshes them and makes them a new person. You know, if we're dying in the desert, the best thing we need is a cup of cold water. Jesus promises more than a cup. A never-ending flow of clear, cool, clean water. The Holy Spirit is never-ending, never runs out. Streams without pollution, rivers that will never dry, is the concept of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the answer for our deep inner thirst. When you feel thirsty, when you feel void or vacant or dry inside and your body is, and your spirit is wanting something, call on the Holy Spirit and He will give you a river of flowing fresh water in your life. Secondly, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit being like wine. Well, Ephesians 5 says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. It's one of the most unusual spirit symbols of the Holy Spirit. And two crucial passages in the New Testament, there is a comparison between the wine and the Holy Spirit and how it has effect on people. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them in great force, with like the sound of rushing wind. Tongues of fire appeared on their heads. And the miraculous ability to speak in tongues happened to all the apostles. And they were stunned to hear relatively uneducated people from the hill country of Galilee speaking in many, many languages, a dozen languages. And no one could deny that something had happened. Unusual it had happened. In fact, some of the people around were saying, these people must have been drinking too much wine because they're speaking in these languages that they never knew before. But Peter says in Act 2, these men were not drunk, as you suppose. It was only 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, I guess they'd never been out down at Colfax at 8 o'clock in the morning. But the person between wine and Holy Spirit, it alters your spirit, it alters your being in a good way. The Holy Spirit does. The wine makes you change your attitude, makes you sometimes say things that you don't want to say. But the whole filling of the Holy Spirit, taking in the Holy Spirit into your body, makes you change your behavior. In Ephesians 5, it says, singing a thankful heart and an attitude of submission. When we submit to our heart and we bring our Holy Spirit into ourselves, when we deal with other people, we could say we don't have to have our way all the time. We want the way of the Lord. That's our way. We don't have to have our way all the time. In John 2, Jesus turned water into wine at the wedding feast at Cana. This represents Jesus' control over nature. Confirm the joy that brings through the transforming ministry of the Holy Spirit that Jesus can transform anything. Jesus turned water into a wine, which was a sign that salvation had come into the world. It's a positive thing. Jesus brings his salvation to a new world, a new covenant, a new testament, a new contract between God and us, not the Old Testament. When police arrest someone for driving while intoxicated, the charge is called DUI, but we need to have an LUI, living under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. Now, thirdly, the Holy Spirit is represented as wind. It says, whenever the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it's coming from, where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. They have this wind in their sails. A very good symbol of the Holy Spirit. Jesus pointed out to Nicodemus, wind by its very nature is invisible and unpredictable. The wind that might blow from the north may blow from the south today and tomorrow change around. Well, look what happened at the British Open. The golfers are confounded because the wind is changing all the time. I know that you're not all golfers, but it's an illustration that many of us can relate to. In a closed room, air soon becomes stagnant, but open the window and let the fresh air in. Well, how often do we say that? And that's like opening our life to the Holy Spirit and bring the fresh air in. In John 20:22, Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost in Act 2, the Holy Spirit came with the sound of a violent wind. The wind filled the whole house of where they were sitting, and they filled with the Holy Spirit and didn't blow out the fire of flames of Pentecost of the Spirit on their heads. No one can say where the wind's going to go or where it's going to come from. I remember as a child, you know, little one like back there, hi there, 3 or 4 years old, and driving around in my father's car, and I put my hand out the window trying to catch the air, trying to catch the wind, and in the cup of my hand, there's no way to do that, is there? You can't catch the wind in a bottle, you can't catch the wind in anything. The wind can turn a turbine, but you can't be captured. The same is true of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is sovereign and cannot be captured and is everywhere, blowing here and there in your life. Sometimes you have to talk to a person over and over again to receive the Holy Spirit and to receive Jesus as their Savior. Sometimes it happens the first time, but most of the time, the Holy Spirit works and works and works in your life and in the life of others. The fresh wind of the Spirit, what a great sign that is. And now the Holy Spirit is represented as fire. It says in Acts 2, then they saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. They were being infused by the Holy Spirit. There are many examples of fire in the Bible. Moses and the burning bush, the burning pillar of fire, the God who answers by fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire in Matthew. Acts 2, and they said what seemed to be tongues of fire. And there are several others. It's a sign that it's going to come into your life. But now God's presence is to be personal and individual. Like the tongues of fire that individually on every one of the apostles rested, and it will rest on each one of you too. Even the Holy Spirit gives each person a direction. Just ask for the power. Ask for the direction. Holy Spirit, come into my heart, come into my being, come into my soul. First of all, the Spirit of God is a cleansing agent, like fire is. Fire takes away the impurities of metals and makes them pure. We yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit It fills us with the fire of God's presence. It makes us what you are, filled with passion for our church and for our Lord and our community and our world, wanting to make sure that the right things are done. In times of revival, the Holy Spirit spreads like a flame, a revival in your heart and in my heart, which changes us, which makes us reach out to others. We let our light shine so brightly for others. And others will look at us and say, what's different about you? And you know it's the Holy Spirit. Well, if you stand back and look at these four pictures of the Holy Spirit, they will all lead in the same direction. As water, the Holy Spirit becomes a stream within us, overflowing to the people around us. As wind, the Holy Spirit blows across the land, awakening people to every nation. As wine, the Holy Spirit provides us a change in our being in a sober way that makes us so powerful. As fire, the Holy Spirit burns away the worldliness in our lives and let our light shine before Christ. How profound. Living water, new wine, refreshing wind, blazing fire from heaven. He brings Christ to us in all that we need, and all that we need, that's all we need is the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thanked God for the Holy Spirit in your life? Let's do it now, okay? Let's pray together and thank the Holy Spirit. Gracious Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. May streams of living water flow through us so that others may be thirsty to know you. Grant that the new wine of the Spirit would empower us today. May the wind of God blow through your church. Set us on fire, Lord, with holy passion for you. Lord Jesus, fill us more and more with the Holy Spirit so that we can make your name famous throughout the earth. Amen.
Came a sound from heaven. soul was bound for hell.